Stick a same game multi on the NRL with Bluebet and get more bang for your buck. Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. T's and C's apply. Gamble responsibly. The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush Hour. Rush Hour.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. We're expecting Gus back on deck probably Tuesday after he recovers from his hernia operation. A long weekend. I mean, obviously, we are going to touch on Origin and congratulate the Queensland.
We have to.
Yeah.
This guy has been bouncing around the studio for the whole time. I think he might have burnt the candle at both ends last night after the call too, but it was a good call with Dan Ganane.
Yeah, I don't think I was because by the time you leave the stadium, it's 11 o'clock. I got back to Wollongong at 10 to 1, so got out there at 2 yesterday. Unbelievable day. Great atmosphere. And also for the Queensland boys, sponsors and partners weren't allowed in the dressing room. It was just the players.
That's cheering on DCE.
That's something different.
Oh, yeah, I was. But in the first half, I was sort of into him a little bit. Some of those long kicks. But look, I wanted Queensland to win, but I just thought New South Wales might be too good at home. But I love that they found something extra, but there wasn't much in it.
Mm. Well, we'll get your analysis on the game and we'll ask you more about that very shortly because everybody will be hanging out to hear what you had to say about the Queensland. The Queenslanders winning, but what about this, boys? A Sydney man has waited for more than 1 week to come forward and claim his winnings. He won the lotto. He won $1.1 million. He won first prize in the lotto. Guy from Pyrmont, but however, he knew Jude that he won.
Hang on, you're saying he knew.
He knew.
Not like the ticket was in his wallet and he just forgot to check it.
Yeah. He knew that he won the money, but he just forgot that. Well, he just didn't forget. He just didn't. Oh, I've just got to duck out and get that $1.1 million.
He probably didn't need it, mate.
How busy are you?
Yeah. How busy are you that you can't?
Or has he got the family that are going to come out of the woodwork to try to stake their claim? And he's going, how do I deal with all of this? Yeah. And just maybe let it simmer away and then I just go quietly cash it.
The best way to deal with all of that is lend them all $500 and you'll never see them again, isn't it? But how laid back can you be? You're sitting on $1.1 million and you leave it sit there for a week.
But what else are you doing during the week? That's going to be worth $1.1 to you.
I don't know. It's like when you're at the TAB and you won something on the footy and that you want to save it for later. I mean, your chance of losing that ticket, but you just want to save it. Like, okay, I've got that there. I'll just wait and cash it in later.
Yeah. I'm always losing.
I'll get the 1.1 in the bank and then I'll worry about it.
Exactly.
Triple M, it's the Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell. No, Gus, he'll be back on Tuesday. Of course, last night in Sydney, it was Origin, 80,512 people. It was cold and the Queenslanders got a win for game one. Before I get An analysis, easy for you to say, from you two blokes. Here's a little bit of Dan Ganane's call.
Ashley Klein blows time on, and State of Origin for 2022 is underway.
Baker Cook throws left. Here it comes.
Here's Luai getting it under White. White on line, and it's Jack White who scores the first try of State of Origin 2022. Blues pass, beautiful bounce, combo, chance, 20 out, rolls it a kick.
Saying Cameron Murray might be a sleeper in the line here.
Oh, it's a try. Onga jumps out to the left, but Terry Evans is on the right. He's going straight through and scored one of the softest Origin tries you will ever see.
I love it, boys. How good's Origin?
Granite dummy half. Links up with Connor. Skipping. Magnificent pass. Holmes is over. Queensland are running away. Cook down. Short pass with dummy half. Oh, she's not over. 8.5 to go. Turns it inside to Crichton. Oh, he stops and props.
Takes
it out of his hands. And that might just be the end. Oh, State of Origin. Away to Yeo. Cuts back to the middle. Yeo, almost there. Cut down a metre short. Needs to get up. They lay all over it. Siren about to sound. Siren sound. Queensland win. Queensland win. 16-10.
Yeah, great call, Dan and the boys last night at Origin, always is, and Gerds and Dell and Dobbo and all the team. Jude, we blokes like me and you sat back and watched it, and you know what we did all week leading up. We said Cleary and Luai play together at club level, and then Jude Munster and DCE said, "Hold my beer."
They
never mind
up,
about
didn't
that,
they?
Didn't they?
Oh, Munster's effort, Del. He was just phenomenal. He was out of this world in terms of his defensive efforts and then the creativity with ball in hand.
Yeah, look, I think the best thing about Munster is he doesn't just play with structure. He plays outside that as well. And he changed the game up. Obviously, no doubt, yeah, we'll talk about it, you know. Harry Grant, he was great. Like, he's been underdone, Harry Grant, but Ben Hunt, he's been playing really good football. So, mate, you got Cameron Smith in there, so you know for sure what's going to happen. So I felt real confident when people picked him on the bench. When they picked him on the bench, I thought, okay, I know what Billy's doing here. Billy's obviously talked to Cameron, said, how are we going to work this? And it did change the game because New South Wales started well. New South Wales, you know, Jack Whiten on that left edge there, that was a nice try by Jack Whiten. I thought New South Wales were entitled to be 10 or 12 up. I mean, obviously the Tedesco play, very unfortunate for New South Wales, but I was sitting in the box, I was going, oh, mate, we're in trouble here. And obviously it calls back. And I think you said it, Jude. I thought it was a try. Even as a Queenslander, I thought, I've got no problems with that. So that's a borderline that swings the game. But the Queensland rookies, for me, they stood up.
Patrick Carrigan, Cotter, Cobbo, they were phenomenal, weren't they?
Well, Cotter, to play 80 minutes, to make 50-odd tackles, to run what he did, the 95 metres, it was like a Dallas Johnson type of play. But also, young Cobbo, Phil Gould said, like, this young kid, he might get exposed on the big stage. I said it, Lottie Dakiri said it, Steve Renoff said it, this kid belongs. Mate, for a young kid who's just turned 20, he was taking it on. But even that kick, dude.
Mate, got hemmed in on the side, the deaf kick, the Dane Gagai. Yeah. It was phenomenal.
How hard is that to do? Tell our listeners how hard that's to do.
Oh, like, but at just that speed? When you're under pressure running at that speed, just to be able to just put it so gently down on your boot so it sits up, it's really, really difficult.
And you've got to understand this too, Maroon. Like, what about Dane Gagai? Like, he just, he played for South, he's played for Newcastle, played for the Broncos, but he just finds a way, you know, 20 origins, and I think he scored 12 tries. Unbelievable.
What do New South Wales need to do now to I guess, regroup and hit game two in a big way?
They weren't far away. I was nervous the whole time. Even Isaiah Yacht, I'm thinking, this is going to go to Golden Point. But, mate, I don't know why Freddie started Junior Paulo off the bench. Junior Paulo, mate, he puts fear into you. Obviously, there's something that he spoke about with his coaching staff there, you know, Regan Campbell-Gillard and then Martin there.
Yeah.
But even Isaiah Yeo at the start there, he got rocked, and obviously there's a bit of controversy around that. But, mate, start Junior Paulo.
Yeah.
I fear Junior Paulo. So, you know, Jack Whiten obviously played well on the left side there. Crichton probably didn't go as well as he would have liked to, but it's hard when you're carrying someone. That's why I think sometimes you need a specialist utility.
What about talk us through that Isaiah Yeo thing? Because if you're in the crowd, you're going, what? He came away shaking his head, but
I think so. That
he was rocked.
That first contact, man, he got rocked, and we all went. We went, Isaiah Yeo, he's gone. He's in trouble.
Well, Cam Munster pointed it out. Look at that. Look after him.
And Cam Munster sort of, you know, he felt. I think he brought it up in the press conference as well. But the trainer got there, and I think there's specialist doctors and that usually see it. If you didn't see that, mate, you must be blind, Freddie. But like, he's just so tough, Isaiah. Yeah, but we need to take that out of players' hands.
Valentine Holmes's defensive efforts and some of the ball out to car.
Well, that's another one too, mate. I feel sorry for Xavier Coates, but that changed the game to put, you know, Valentine Holmes back there. Every time Val got the ball, mate, he looked dangerous. He punched through it. I did the 3-2-1s. I didn't realise until I got home how good, because I looked at the replay because he's still hyped up. And, mate, just his runs, the try that he scored there. Kalen Ponga, everyone's bagging Kalen Ponga. Everyone's talking about Tedesco. And then Ponga just does what he does. And, mate, look, don't get me wrong. New South Wales, they aren't far away. So Freddie gets those selections right again. Like, even Tarek Sims doesn't miss DCE there. Like, you know, he just sort of went, DCE went bang off the right. But as you said, when you're talking about Nathan Cleary, when you're talking about his partner in crime, Jerome Luai, mate, the Queensland boys are going, okay, we'll show you.
Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't expect that victory. I was hoping Queensland would win. I tipped them by one. But I was pretty up when I walked out of there. But I know the series isn't over. And I've got to say, Billy Slater, give yourself a pat on the back. He picked it on form. And, and he didn't want to buy into the New South Wales stuff.
Origin 2 is going to be an absolute cracker in Perth. And you know what? You can hear it live on Triple M or the listener app. Dan and the boys are off to Perth to call that one. That's the Sunday game, the middle one. But I tell you what, it's going to be hard for New South Wales. The good thing is, Jude, your chicken.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Ariana?
Ariana come up with the goods.
Well, it did tip it, but I was disappointed with it. It's got one other chance. Otherwise, it's roast dinner.
Let's talk about that next on the Rush Hour at Triple M.
Rush Hour on Triple M.
Last night, Origin in Sydney, Queensland get a win. Just to a brief, not a reminder, but an explanation due to what's going on here. You have chickens?
I've got 6 chickens at home. Yep. We got them during lockdown just to get the kids out the backyard. Mm-hmm. So got a bit of a coop out the back. And they're all got different names. There's, you know, Chris Hensworth and all these different
They've
ones.
They've all got that, fancy
names.
Have you got a Wendell? Or?
There's a Chewbacca. Right. There's not a Wendell, actually. But there is an Ariane Titmus. And I dragged Ariana out yesterday and just... You know, laid out the 2 bowls just to see if...
Maroon bowl and a blue bowl?
Just to see if they could tip the winner.
Okay.
You may remember back in the FIFA World Cup, Paul the Octopus picked the winner of each of the rounds. Well, I've got a couple of chickens at home and I thought I'd just drag one of them out of the coop and just actually just see if it could tip the Origin 1 winner. And I grabbed Ariana, who's named after Ariane Titmus, and I put her there in front of 2 bowls. One was light blue and one was maroon.
Off you go. Which one are you going to go? Who's going to go? Oh, no. Maroons.
So it wasn't the result we wanted. And if you remember, Paul the Octopus ended up being calamari. And I'm telling you what, Ariana, she's got one chance.
Well done, chicken.
Well whatever. Done. Ariana. Hey, she will be well done if it comes out.
Ariana picks the winner.
The winner.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed when it just toddled over and grabbed the maroon bowl.
Yeah.
And, Dell's come in bouncing off the roof and she's picked the winner.
You should be proud, mate. She got it right.
Yeah.
You know,
mate, next time you should probably bet on
it. I'm picking a different chicken next time.
Are you really? Ariana, the psychic chicken.
But it got me thinking about, when's the psychic got it right? And to be honest, my mum had her palm read. They were at a Turkish restaurant one night and she got this palm reader, came around and was looking at everyone's palms and telling them bits and pieces of what's going to be told in their future. And she had this grave look on her face and everyone around the table, what's wrong? And my mum's saying, what happened? What are you saying? And she says, you're going to lose a big amount of money very soon. Anyway, and mum's like,
when you get the bill.
And when you get the bill. And sure enough, I think it was about a month later, my mum's credit card was stolen.
Wow.
And the person who stole it went round to about 3 different banks and wrote a convoluted message to say, My auntie owes me some money and she's asked me to take this. So she lost like $6,000 or $7,000.
Wow. Yeah.
And the banks handed over to it. So the psychic got it right.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what our listeners think.
There's a lot of good stories around like that. 133353. Tell us about when a psychic got it right. Anne-Marie's there for you, Jude.
How are you, Anne-Marie?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
When did the psychic get it right?
Look, it was about 30 years ago. I went with some friends to see a psychic. Didn't really believe in anything that they were going to tell me. And it was before the days of mobile phones where you could record things. I actually wrote notes throughout my little session.
Yeah.
She told me she could see me in the south of France and I was going to be with a tall, dark, handsome fella. He was going to be foreign but English speaking.
Wow.
So I found these notes many, many, many years later. I'd been happily married. And my husband I met in the south of France, who's Australian, and he's tall and dark and handsome.
Wow.
That's outrageous.
So she predicted where you'd meet your husband.
I know.
So how many trips did you go to the south of France looking for him, though?
Look, no. It was I was 20. He was already working there, and we ended up working in France for 10 years together.
Amazing. Great work, Anne-Marie. Stay on the line. We'll go to Michelle in Schofields. How are you, Michelle?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Tell us about when the psychic got it right.
Oh, my sister, my mother and I went to a psychic in Port Macquarie and there wasn't too many people in the audience. So she went around and personally read everybody. I've got goosebumps just thinking about this. But my sister lost her baby when he was 8.5 months in the womb. And she walked up to my sister and grabbed her and said, I'm so sorry for your loss. Oh. And then she looked over at me and she said, but your father is looking after him. And he was my sister's stepfather and she just burst out crying because she always wanted to know, what happened to him. And we were just like, wow, how did she even know that?
That's
like,
giving me goosebumps.
It's incredible. Michelle. Yeah. That's unbelievable.
So it was really, really refreshing for both of us, I think. So, yeah, it was beautiful.
Amazing. That's
but
unbelievable.
Every single thing she said was true. It was just, it was like she'd looked through the whole audience's history or something. I don't know how she, it was incredible.
Yeah. Did you believe in psychics before that, Michelle?
I did. My sister never did. She was very skeptical. And my mum was just sitting on the fence. So after that, we 100% believe in it now. And I'm sure there are the ones out there that aren't real. But There definitely are people who can do it.
No, yeah. Great story.
Good on you, Michelle. Thanks for taking the time. Chris, you're in Wollongong. Whereabouts in Wollongong are you, mate?
Balgowney.
Oh, beautiful. The fountain on the mountain, the Balgowney pub. Do you ever go there?
Oh, no, that's the local, mate, so definitely go there.
Yeah, awesome. Beautiful. All right, when did the psychic get it right?
Mate, in 1989, I was staying in a little mountain village in Greece.
Yep.
And this old woman wanted to read my coffee cup. I don't drink coffee, but I drank one anyway just to please her. She turned it over, waited for a couple of minutes, looked at it, pointed a couple of fingers and said to me, okay, look, it looks like you're going to marry someone that you've known for a long time and you work with. Her initials are going to be M. You're going to have three children. They're all going to be boys. And their initials are going to be J, D, and W. In 1997, I started going out with a girl I'd worked with for over 10 years. Her name was Mary. In 2000, we got married. In 2001, we had our first child, which was a boy. His name was John. In 2003, we had our second boy. His name was Daniel. And in 2005, we had our third boy, and his name was William. Now, I never told her that story. The first name we picked, that was automatic because that was my dad's name. The next two names we picked, she picked them, and it was just freaky, absolutely freaky.
That is unbelievable. That is, and you never drank coffee, but you drank one just to hear her
just
out.
She was a relo, so I wanted to do the right thing. And you're going to marry a girl called M, you've known her for heaps, you work with her, blah, 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 JDW, and I just laughed. I laughed for the next 5 years.
The moral of the story, drink coffee.
Drink coffee. Yeah.
It is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Wendell, Jude, Maroon filling in for Gus. Oh, I love it when we do this.
Me.
Yeah, two strong hearts, an opportunity to play a little bit of John Farnham, a John Farnham classic.
Johnny Farnham saying, stick together like the honey and the bee. And actually, our own Wendell Saylor looks like he's been stung by a bee at the moment. But anyway, it's good.
He does. Yeah. He's all puffed up.
Okay, boys, this is two strong hearts.
Right, yeah. So what, set it up. Tell us how we play.
Well, I'll give you a topic.
Yep.
And then I'll give you 3 seconds to come to a decision.
Right. It's got to be the same.
Three, two, one, and then you got to say it. Yeah.
Can you just remind the listeners what you two idiots got the other day when you did this?
0-5.
Yeah. 0-5. Yeah. Okay, so we're not setting a high bar here.
But the thing is, Jude, well, we've got to point out that one of the questions was an origin legend. I said him, thinking he'd say him, but he didn't say
Queensland origin legend. Yeah. He says it that he's an everyday Queensland legend all the time. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll get.
He didn't want to disrespect King Wally, did he?
Yeah. No, he's scared of him.
Okay, guys, we ready to play? Yeah. Okay, we're ready to rumble. Okay. Well, two strong hearts. Here we go. Something you do on a Sunday morning. 3, 2, 1.
Read the paper.
Maroon, what are you doing?
Sorry, I didn't. I couldn't think of anything. I froze.
Oh, you're such a fool.
I just froze. Okay. I was going to say walk the dog, bacon and eggs.
You were deer in the spotlight.
Kissing a cuddle. I just couldn't come. Nothing would come.
Okay. Right. You couldn't want, sorry?
Pick nothing anything. Would come out.
Kissing a cuddle.
Yeah, right. Kissing a cuddle.
Okay. Okay, guys, ready the next topic?
Yes.
A pie filling. 3, 2, 1.
Meat. Meat.
Yes!
Yeah. We are on here.
Not bad. Okay, ready? Reset?
Yeah.
One from two? Mm-hmm. Okay, an animal you'd see on a safari. 3, 2, 1.
Lion. Tiger.
Close.
King of the jungle, though.
But no cigar, yeah. Okay, here we go.
Gee, you're good at this, Del.
I know.
Honestly.
I know. The fourth topic. Here we go. Name something that's a flower. 3, 2, 1.
Rose.
Yes!
Yeah, dude.
Hey.
Well done.
That's two.
Here we go, two.
Last one.
Let's go for three.
Yep.
Yeah.
A Sydney sports team. 3, 2, 1.
Roosters.
Oh, come on, Chookies.
Why would you say Roosters?
Because they're a better team.
Well, that's not too bad. 2 out of 5.
Oh, that's actually very
good. What's the actual record?
4. 4 is the record. But, mate, how good was Del hosting?
You must have knew I was going to say Rabbitohs.
Yeah, but no.
You just didn't want to say
it.
Okay. Well, would you like to win $1,000? Let's do this.
It's Wendell's. What's on the menu? Menu log has what you want when you want it.
Did somebody say menu log?
Oh, we had menu log today. We had Thai.
Oh, how good was it?
It was beautiful.
I told you, that's what we do there at menu log. We look after our people.
Absolutely.
Loved it.
Move over, Katy Perry. The Rush Hour's Del is going to have his own crack at making an iconic menu log order. He's going to list three different menu log orders, and you need to call in to correctly match the orders to the corresponding Rush Hour host. So Jude's ordered something, I've ordered something, Del's ordered something.
Oh, yeah.
If you match us up properly, you will win $1,000 to spend at menu log.
Yeah, that's beautiful. What we do. We'll have another $1,000 to give away tomorrow.
Okay, here we go. 133353. Let's go to it. We've got Michael. Is that Michael?
Michael in Cronulla. Yeah. How are you, Michael?
Legendary. Very good. Thank you.
Good, good.
Right. Okay, here are the three choices. One of us ordered. Do you know what they are, Del, or do you like me to do this for you?
You do that, mate.
Okay. We've got
let me do it, ready?
Okay, all right. Because it's your segment. I don't want to take it away.
Because I know you're trying to steal my thunder, mate.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
I hate people when they do that. No, I love people. Okay. Someone ordered a meat lover's pizza.
Yes.
Someone ordered a chicken pad thai.
Nice.
And someone ordered a Caesar salad.
Right.
Name me those three people who ordered those.
Let's go, Michael. Who do you think?
Del pizza. Salad to the AFL player.
Oh.
Yeah, bang.
I like it, mate.
Let's go to Adam. How are you, Adam?
Yeah, good.
So, Del, what are the three orders?
Three orders? A meat lover's pizza, a chicken pad thai, and a Caesar salad.
Who ordered who?
Who ordered what?
All right. I reckon Del got the Caesar salad. I reckon Jude got the chicken pad thai, and I reckon Maroon got the pizza.
Oh, thank you!
We have given you $1,000.
Wow. How did you know that I would order the salad?
Because Del, he's into his fitness. He looks after himself. He's a beautiful man. He's going to order the pizza salad.
Well played, mate.
Fantastic,
well done.
Adam, that's very good.
That's what menu log we love giving, and we just give away. That's what we love doing.
I've never seen him order a Caesar salad.
Yeah, no, that's
exactly.
True.
But he's like, this could be like the psychic chicken thing all over again.
What's his tip for Origin 2? Yeah.
Yeah. Well done, Adam.
Amazing.
Menu log has what you want when you want it. Did somebody say
menu log?
Stick around. We're going to talk about Neighbours from Hell on Triple M's Rush Hour.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
But look, right now, an Epping woman, Jude, has... this is in the Daily Telly. This was in the Daily Telly today. An Epping woman has aired her neighbour's dirty laundry, displaying a bizarre handwritten message on a large bedsheet for the neighbourhood to see. Now, it's been a three-year feud, and the woman's hung this bedsheet outside her home with words written on them saying that her neighbour owed $400. So this is what it says. The message says, attention, and then it has the property address. Lives a shameful couple. That's what the sign says.
Wow.
The owner plants trees close to neighbour's sewer and electrical cable, spent $4.2 million to buy the property, but ignores a court order of $412.50. The man said he was shocked by the bed sheets from his neighbours, given their suburb was often peaceful and friendly, nice place to live. It is understood the sign's been hanging at the home for more than 2 weeks. So you can picture it, bed sheet.
I look at these stories and I go, gee, I'm thankful for the neighbours that I have around my area, because we've got great neighbours on all sides, over the back as well. But you can see how quickly it turns if you've got an issue, whether it's renovating and buildings, there might be animals that are barking too much, or I don't know, like people parking in the driveways or something like that and covering your exits.
You know a lot about these, mate. I think that maybe you are a culprit.
Do this sort of stuff.
You know all the triggers there,
please.
Jude.
But it just stirs down into people's guts just to say, nah. Yeah. They fight over these all the time.
Yeah, I'm just a neighbour who likes to look after my friends, and if I see their bin out there, I'll take it in. If I see something happening, I'll let them know. I'm not a nosy neighbour, but I'll just say,
neighbour.
I saw someone parking in front of your place, and you know, so it's like a neighbourhood watch for me.
But there's crazy parties, you know, the people who dial them in when as soon as they have like they're just music up a touch, you're like, come on, like they might have a party or a birthday once in a blue moon.
It's and 10 past 11, and the music
is still going. I'm calling the cops on you.
I wouldn't like to have Del as a neighbour. I think he'd visit too much. And you can hear his voice. You can hear him talking in his own house.
He'd be the neighbour from hell for me.
Oh, wouldn't he?
Hello. Have you got some brown sugar? Remember on Bad Boys? Bad Boys when he's out there.
Anyway, look, 133353, it got us thinking. I mean, me like you, Jude, great neighbours, King Rami and Sandra on one
but
side.
But it's not always the case.
No, if people have got crazy neighbours that and like living with somebody you don't get on with, and they're not even 4 metres away.
And
you know?
They're dialing the cops. They're doing all these sort of things. Tell us your neighbours from hell.
Nathan, go for your life.
So I've got a bloke. He lives across the road from me. He just bought himself a nice top-of-the-range Nissan Patrol. And he backs it up in there every night, every afternoon, and locks the car, unlocks it, and the headlights come on. And he's got those fancy top-of-the-range Xenons. Mm. It lights the entire house up like a Christmas tree. It wakes my son up in the middle of the night because this guy's a truck driver. And no, he's just, sometimes I think he does it on purpose. He unlocks it and locks it and the lights come on and off. And he's just, no, one of those blokes, I think.
Can't you have a word with him?
Well, what do you say? Don't turn your lights on in your car. I suppose there's not really much I can do, but I don't know. He likes everyone to know he's got the nicest car in the street, I think. So he tries to show it off a bit.
Get the big floodlight back at him.
Could he go in head first though, Jude? Couldn't he go in head?
Yeah, he could.
He backs it in, doesn't he? Yeah.
What I'm thinking of doing, you can get that window tint that looks like a mirror. So I might just do the whole front of the house and that, so it just blinds him every time, and then he might realise, I think.
Yeah,
nice. I like your thinking, Nathan.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, mate. Sounds very passive-aggressive,
exactly.
I would say.
Yeah. Jason on the Central Coast, how are you, mate?
Hey, guys, how are you going?
Not too bad. Tell us about your neighbours from hell.
He's actually not a bad bloke. I won't get his name, but he's an ex-copper. But I had a party set up for my wife. Planned for about 6 months to a year, had a band, spent thousands of dollars arranging this party, and he ends up ringing the local boys to come down at 7:30 to shut it down. I don't think he was probably invited, that's why he probably did it. But the funny thing is that when he came, I had the local district commander at my party, because we're all in the same job, but at the end of the day, he ended up after 2 or 3 years down the track, ended up being my wife's coach, and I confronted him about it. He said, you live up the road, don't you? He said, yeah. He said, you're the one who shut my party down. He said, yeah. He said, you want my wife to play for you? Maybe you should ask and apologise to her first.
Well done.
7:30, though. That's too early.
Yeah,
way
crazy,
too early, mate.
Crazy.
All right, Johnny's in Liverpool. What do you got for us, Johnny?
I'm not sure if I'm the bad neighbour or the previous neighbour one. like the first call, I used to do a lot of work on my cars as a apprentice spray painter. And the neighbour used to keep calling the council on me. So I think he copping the bloody fines off the council. So I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning one night, and went over to his fuse box and switched all his power off, and then padlocked it shut.
Oh my god! What type of
I'm
cars are you working
bed,
on?
Lying in bed, laughing my head off as he's screaming, trying to get power going to find the grinder to open his power box.
What type of cars are you working on, Johnny?
The old Tiranas, mate. The old LH Tiranas.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to have an LH Tirana now. Be worth a quid. Good on you, Johnny. Thank you for your call.
Sensational.
This is the Rush Hour on Triple M. Gus, Jude and Wendell, but no Gus today. He's still off getting repaired. He's got the hernia repaired. He's just recovering now, doing a lot of whinging, but we love Big Gussie, and we know you're listening. Boys, this breakaway golf thing that involves the likes of Greg Norman and Phil Mickelson creating a lot of waves in the golf world. I don't know so much about golf as you do, Jude, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of the old Super League war in rugby league, where somebody's just trying to set up a rebel league and throwing millions upon millions of dollars at it. Before I get your thoughts on it, let me play you what Phil Mickelson had to say about his involvement and, well, trying to justify it, really. Have a listen.
I don't condone human rights violations at all. Nobody here does throughout the world, and I'm certainly aware of what has happened with Jamal Khashoggi, and I think it's terrible. I've also seen the good that the game of golf has done throughout history, and I believe that LIV Golf is going to do a lot of good for the game as well.
Yeah, it's fascinating this for me, Maroon. These guys are multi-millionaires already.
Yes.
And then you sit there and go, like, money does talk, but they seem to be lining their pockets with it's really sketchy, the money and the backing. And it's obviously a Saudi-backed LIV golf invitational series. And Greg Norman's led the charge. But sometimes you start to tarnish your reputation when you tie yourself to those types of characters. And it's, you know, it's sort of very controversial at this point.
Yeah, well, you said they don't need the money, but give me some idea.
He's 300 million net worth.
That's what he's, Phil Mickelson?
Phil Mickelson already.
So, but what would he get for this?
So apparently he's accepted a staggering 200 US million, which is about 280 Australian dollars.
Wow.
Million. So, I mean, this, that's a big jump ship, and obviously then it puts the PGA Tour out of whack. He's not allowed to play, you know, in the majors and things. Dustin Johnson's involved and a few others. So it's going to get a lot of eyeballs and interest, and you can see why the money's been thrown there. They are the biggest names in golf, but I just don't like the tarnishing the reputation that they've built up over a long time. So I feel they're the sort of people that are in a good position anyway, that they could probably knock it back. And we heard about Tiger Woods knocking back almost almost $1 billion back together.
Wow. Yeah, well, Tiger's taken a long time to build his brand, and he's been through some, through some mishaps and that. But, like, he understands the PGA is where he's at. So I think he understands, too, it's a bit of blood money, too, you know. So that opportunity for him, he just went like, nah, thank you, but no thanks.
Triple M's Rush Hour. We've got Big Gussie in Orange Hospital. He'll be back on deck Tuesday. Jude's here, Wendell's here, Maroon filling in for Gus. And get well, Gussie. We know you're listening. Origin last night. The mighty Maroons get up to beat New South Wales 16-10. Controversial ending. Four players great on debut. They always go great on debut, the Queenslanders. Del, Jude, well Del, obviously this is a question for you. What does Origin mean to you, and why do we always suggest that Origin is a whole different thing for you Queensland players?
Yeah, I think when you grow up in the state of Queensland, all you ever want to do is play State of Origin. You don't think about playing for your country, even though a lot of kids think about, I'd love to play for Australia. I think we're programmed to be wanting to play for your state, you know, like State of Origin meant everything to us as kids. You know, you go to school, if you'd beat New South Wales and you'd see Wally Lewis or Dean Miles do something magic, you know, Dale Shearer, and you'd just be buzzing about it. And I think for me too, when I actually played State of Origin, it's also carrying your family's name. Mm. So to see my dad's name on the back and his family, Sailor, the state of Queensland, from the Torres Strait Islands all the way, you know, down to the Gold Coast and out to Mount Isa, I just think, you know, you're representing your state. The farmers, obviously, you know, all those people out there who work hard, but also you understand, you know, we love our state, and we just, you know, we love being the underdogs, and we always, it's ingrained in us that New South Wales think they're better than us, so, you know, that's like a big brother, little brother stuff.
You were jumping out of your skin getting ready for the game yesterday, like you're about to call, and you could see the excitement. I wanted to try and get you to take you back to when you were about to debut for Queensland. Mm. When you'd watched Queensland growing up and all the incredible players, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to play for Australia when I was 20, but then I had to wait 2 years because of the Super League war. But then when I got my jersey, I walked in, got to shake Artie Beetson's hand. He was a selector, and I'd met him when I was a 16-year-old. Tosser Turner, Fatty Vorton was my coach. And just to understand that, like, this is it. I've actually made State of Origin. Mm. But now I've got to go out there and make sure that fear of failure inside me, I've got to execute that under pressure. We got beaten that day 18-6. Mate, New South Wales team, they're unbelievable. They had Lazarus, Eddinghausen, Bradley Clyde, Laurie Daly, you know, Andrew Johns, Brad Fittler. We had a good side too, but we got beaten at Lang Park. But I remember when I was running out, just the euphoria of running out to Lang Park, you know, the old school Lang Park, and it just hits you in the face. And I just loved it. I just thought, you don't know if you belong, but after 80 minutes, it sorts the men out from the boys. So that's what State of Origin means to me, and that's why I love it so much. And even for the boys last night on debut, just to have their families there and that, I can understand that. A young Cotter said he had 20 of his family there from Serena. He came through my junior club, and that junior club had Martin Bella, Dale Shearer, Cherry Evans, Kevin Campion, and obviously myself. So, it's unbelievable. So I'm really proud of those guys, and they're part of a very exclusive club.
And Billy Slater's really recreated that by bringing all the legends back in around just to create that for those youngsters stepping into that environment again, hasn't he?
Well, it's a bit like Freddie Fittler, yeah. You don't have to be the best tactical coach in Origin, but you've got to be a good man manager and have the right people around. So can you imagine Harry Grant and Ben Hunt having Cameron Smith there? You could tell last night that it's got a bit of Cameron Smith in it. Well, like, we did slow the ruck down at certain places, but when the change came on, Mate, that would have been on Cameron Smith saying, mate, after about 2025, let's bring Harry Grant on. And, you know, Thurston with the halves. And look at our halves. Our halves aimed up. But when you got Thurston in your ear, mate, Cam Munster, he'd be feeling like a rock star today.
Because there is always the chance that you Queenslanders are going off early and you're going to get absolutely flogged in game two.
A bit of head wobble, isn't there?
Yeah, but that's Origin. No, no, but I don't think any of those boys are big heads about it because I think they know there's two games to go and Origin can bite you in the ass really quickly.
There you go. There's a quote from Dell. Origin can bite you in the ass really quickly.
Gus, Jude and Wendell, this is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Reedy's mail. Me old mate, Mr. Peabody, Brent Reed with Reedy's mail. How are you, my friend?
Oh, it's good to hear you called me Mr. Peabody, Marie.
Mate, it's an affectionate nickname you've had since you were playing soccer in Brisbane.
It's funny, I had the TV on the other day and that movie came on, Mr. Peabody. It was uncanny, the resemblance, I've got to say.
Hey, Reedy, Newcastle scoring another win over the Raiders. They look like they're going to land Jack Hetherington. I'm a big Jack Hetherington fan.
Well, they went to war over Adam Elliott, didn't they? And Newcastle won on Adam Elliott. Now it looks like they get Jack Hetherington. He's been given permission to leave the Bulldogs at the end of the year. He's out injured at the moment, Jack. But he's been given permission to depart. And obviously Canberra and Newcastle are both in for him now. From what I'm told, the Raiders been told that it looks like he'll go to Newcastle. So they missed out on Jack. And I'm a fan of his as well, Maroon. I mean, he's a big lump of a thing. He's aggressive. If they can keep him on the field, Newcastle, they've signed Elliott, now Hetherington. They've got the makings of a pretty good forward pack with Clemmer, Sofidis, Tyson Brazell there, Jaden Brayley. I mean, it's a hell of a forward pack that they're generating next year. So he'll add to that. He'll give him a bit of fire and aggression, bit of fire and brimstone, which we love.
Yeah, like the Maroons last night, wasn't that good, Reedy? Hey, how good was that?
Oh, how good was it, Del?
Yeah, it was good, mate. Let's get back
to
this.
Good to be a Queenslander.
Oh, mate, I'm so proud, mate. Hey, what about Toddy Payton and the Cows? There's a bit of innuendo on that. They're talking about, you know, something's not right there at the moment, or the Tigers might be interested if they miss out in Serraldo.
Well, there's a bit of a whisper going around that the Tigers might look at him if they miss out in Serraldo. I mean, Serraldo's obviously their priority. They're going really hard at him. Going to offer him a long-term deal. But Cameron's sort of up in the air a bit because he's got the Bulldogs chasing him as well, Penrith wanting to stay. And there was a bit of a whisper during the round today that perhaps the Tigers might look at Toddy Payton as an alternative. Yeah. Now, Toddy, he's a former Tigers player. Mm. He knows Tim Sheens very well. He played under Tim. They've still got a great relationship. I've checked with the Cowboys today. Look, they're not overly concerned by this. He's got another year left in his deal. And they think that he can see a future up there. He's brought through a lot of kids, obviously. He's enjoying the benefits of that right now. And I'd imagine the Cowboys pretty soon will start talking to Todd Payton about a contract extension just to stop other clubs sniffing around him. So they're not overly concerned, the Cowboys. I think they can see that Todd sees a real future up there in a club that's going to be a force for a while yet. And I think they think that will convince him to stay and commit to the club long term.
Reedy, we also saw, obviously, the first hit up of the game, Josh Papali'i, and hit Isaiah Yeo, and he just went backwards. Massive. What's the concussion fallout of Origin 1?
This has been quite a furor, hasn't it? And I can tell you, the NRL has just cleared the New South Wales team of medical staff and team of any wrongdoing. They said there might have been some... There may have been an argument that he could have been brought off the field for testing, but they're saying they're satisfied that the testing that went on the field through the trainers, through the New South Wales doctor at half and full time, they're satisfied as a result of that Isaiah Yeo didn't have a concussion. So they've cleared the blues, but I tell you what, it's caused quite the storm because Cameron Munster's come out with some pretty strong comments. We got him after the game last night. A few of us basically said he was sickened by it. Somebody needs to be held made accountable for it.
Interesting.
He was right there when it happened. He was literally going to go up and see if Isaiah Yeo was all right. That's how concerned he was for him. And I'll tell you the big thing that's changed this year, and the reason they've missed it, right, it's because they're using the bunker now. The bunker didn't see it. They didn't send the footies to the sideline. Last year they had spotters in the stand, specific spotters in the stand, concussion spotters in the grandstand. His job was to, if they saw a guy stumbling like that, they notified people and took him off the field. Well, when the bunker got more involved this year, they removed the spotters. So the bunker obviously didn't see it. The medical staff didn't see it because they were at ground level, so you can understand that mass of bodies, they didn't see it. The spotters would have picked it up, but they got rid of them. They all got missed.
You know what? They should get like more spotters, Reedy. This is just an idea. And give them like a spotter's fee, you know, like when you call a tow truck. You know, get your spotters. If they spot someone with concussion on the field or in the crowd, they call this number, they get a spotter's fee.
You're an ideas man, Larry. I'm going to pass it on to Andrew Abdar, Peter Vlandis today.
Mate, I'll do it myself.
You're ideas man. You've always been one.
I'll do it myself. And I've got another idea here. If you Wendell, if you and Wendell think Queensland's such a good place, why don't you both jump into your 2004 Hyundai and head back up there?
Oh, mate, Maroon, don't get me started on the Hyundai. I've got all sorts of problems this week. Just save it for the game. Cost me a fortune.
We'll save it for the weekend, eh?
Anyway, it's good to be a Queenslander. Maroon, you can be a Queenslander with a name like Maroon. What are you doing?
Mate, I'm a Redfern boy. Maroon. I'm a Redfern
Not
boy.
Not too late, mate. Not too late.
That's it for today's podcast. For more of the show, you can catch us on live radio tomorrow from 4 p.m. on Triple M.